John Kachuba joins me in the studio tonight. He is the award-winning author of 12 books and numerous articles, short stories, and poems, and lives here in Cincinnati. He is a 2016 Pushcart Prize nominee, and among his awards are the Thurber Treat Prize for Humor Writing and first place in the Dogwood Fiction Contest. John also teaches creative writing at various places, including Ohio University. Tonight, we're going to talk about his latest novel. It's a work of historical fiction titled The Savage Apostle, and go on the road with him in another new book titled Ghost Hunting in Ohio. John, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to be with you. So tell us the time and place of the setting of The Savage Apostle.
It's 17th century New England. It's 1600s, and it's around the time, you know, sort of the iconic times when we think of the Pilgrims and the first Thanksgiving and all that sort of historical stuff. King Philip's War begins in New England about 50 years after the Pilgrims settled. And The Savage Apostle talks about the events that led up to that war between the Native American population and the English settlers. So we're specifically, the book is set in 1675. It opens in 1675 with the murder of a Christian Indian named John Sassaman, which kind of is a flashpoint for a lot of horrific events.
The story evolves through two voices. So one is Eliot. Tell us who Eliot is.
Correct. If you would. John Eliot is an English missionary who came to the Massachusetts Bay Colony in 1631, 11 years after its settlement. His mission was basically to convert the native population to Christianity, which he was doing very successfully. He translated the Bible into Massachusetts, which was the native Algonquin language spoken by a lot of the various tribes in the area. He also converted them to the sense of becoming more like the English. Once they were converted, they moved into what they called praying villages. So they actually left their tribe affiliation and lived together as basically as Englishmen, Christian Englishmen, in their own little settlement, which caused a lot of dissension among the native population, you know, to actually take your people out and turn them into something that they weren't. His antagonist, I guess you would say, is a Native American sachem named Metacom, who the English call Philip. And Metacom is caught in a hard place because his people are upset and intolerant about the English imposition that's been imposed on them in the last 50 years or so. But at the same time, he realizes that war with the English would be completely devastating for them. And so he's caught between trying to maintain peaceful relations with the English colonists and at the same time appease his own people and maintain his status. And John Eliot, for his part, is also trying to maintain the peace, but also getting push from the Plymouth and Massachusetts Bay authorities who are looking for more land, more economic opportunity, and consider native population to be obstacles to that growth. So you have two men trying to keep the peace against overwhelming odds.
I was fascinated about this unknown time in our country's history. What drew you to it? And did you have it in your history courses and I just missed that? Or, you know, pretty important time and has certain implications for today.
Right. To answer the first part of the question, I grew up in New England. I grew up in Connecticut, lived in Rhode Island for a while. My roots are basically, you know, Yankee New Englander. But even then, that history is still not well known even in New England. Did I learn that as a child in school? No. Actually not. It's one of these sort of forgotten chapters in our history that just gets buried. And yet it was a very pivotal moment in terms of relations between Native Americans and let's just say the white civilization that followed. I came across it bits and pieces as I lived in New England. I'd drive down the road and I'd see a little historical marker tucked in the trees somewhere under weeds. And it would say this was the site of, you know, a particular battle in that war or something. So I became very interested in that. And so started studying it on my own and would like to make it more well-known because it is important for everybody to know that kind of history. To your second point, there's a lot of what I consider to be religious intolerance in here, religious and racial intolerance. The English and John Eliot especially had every good intention towards the Native population, but their way of seeing survival for the Native population was to convert them to Christianity. They were the other, and the other was simply wrong and not the way to go. I see that today in a lot of sort of the racial and religious discrimination that's going on. I think of some of the Islamophobia that's out there today. And I think it's got relevance because we need to understand that there is no person called the other, that we are all the other, you know, in somebody's eyes. And so the more we can deal with intolerance and try to understand other people's, the better off we're going to be. I think the lessons from this, which were basically a war that destroyed almost the entire native population in New England, and in fact, for the English population, it set them back about 100 years in terms of the economy. I mean, there were dozens of English towns completely burned to the ground. English losses in terms of life was not as great as the native population, but still, the devastation, like I said, it took a century for New England to recover to where they were. So we don't want to go down that road again.
Let's skip to another part of your interests in life. And one of the things that is interesting about your literary career is that what you write about is so diverse. And in particular, I'm thinking about the paranormal. So tell us about how you got involved in that. And specifically, then let's talk about ghost hunting in Ohio.
Sure. Well, again, I think part of that has to do with my roots in New England, learning the history, but then also learning the folklore and hearing stories of witches and haunted locations and ghosts. New England's been around a long time, and so the ghosts were everywhere. I always had an interest as a child in reading ghost stories and writing little ghost stories. But as an adult, I met Lorraine and Ed Warren, who are sort of considered America's godfather and godmother of ghost hunting, who lived in Connecticut. They were the people that brought to the public's eye the Amityville Horror, which, you know, everybody knows the movie and the book. And they became very famous for that and went on to become, you know, sort of national celebrities in that field. And I met them and I spent some time with them at their house and things like that and interviewed them. And so I got a little more interested in the paranormal. And it sort of took off from there when a publisher asked me to start writing some of these books. And I said, well, okay. So it became, yes, another diverse interest. But even in The Savage Apostle, there is a little section where there are spirits in there. So they're in all my works.
So I'm curious, have you experienced a ghost?
You know, it depends on what you call a ghost. And I'm not trying to sort of jump around that. But when I think of a ghost, I think of the sort of cartoon head-to-toe sheet coming down the stairs, rattling a chain. Have I experienced that? No. But I've had some very strange experiences where I've seen objects that were impossibly heavy and impossible to move, you know, suddenly move on their own, have caught different images on digital camera. Nobody uses film anymore. And also in audio recordings, you know. So, yeah, I've been in areas where there's been different kinds of events like that and have seen, I guess, what you would say, some people call them corner ghosts, kind of out of the corner of your eye, these images.
Well, so Ghost Hunting in Ohio is subtitled On the Road Again. Are there specific places that you take us to throughout Ohio where there has been evidence of ghosts?
Right. Right. Ghost Hunting Ohio on the Road Again is a sequel to Ghost Hunting Ohio, which came out about 2004. What I do is I go to various locations around the state that are reportedly haunted, and I personally go to each one, and I spend as much time as I can there investigating on my own or talking to folks that have had experiences there. So if it's a haunted hotel, I'll say, what's the haunted room? They'll say, 101. I say, okay, put me up there. So I'll spend the night in 101. But then I'll also talk to, you know, the housekeeping staff, the security guards, the desk clerk. You know, have you seen anything? What's been your experience? So I get their stories as well as whatever happens to me. But the whole idea is that I have to go to these places personally. So it's what I experience and what people tell me they've experienced from the site. And they're all places that are open to the public, so anybody can go to them.
Oh. Well, fascinating subjects, both this little-known time in history, so important, and ghosts.
Yeah.
So thanks for visiting with us tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I've been talking with John Kachuba about his latest books, The Savage Apostle and Ghost Hunting in Ohio. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.